Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is, let me see, it's 11:09 a.m. and that is Frankfurt time, and I'm currently waiting for my transfer to RIA. And I thought that today I would just record the audio early because I don't exactly know what time I'm going to get to my hotel tonight and what condition my mind is going to be after a couple of long flights. But what I find interesting today is that there's a lot of speculation about who's been buying gold over the course of the last 2 months, and there's confusion in the market because some people are looking at it and saying, "Well, we don't see a lot of investors coming back in, and yet the price is going up, and therefore maybe there's a big buyer," and there's speculation that it might be the Chinese government. Now, that does beg the question, though. Why would China be buying in the open market, particularly in size, with the risk of moving the price, when they're already the largest producer of gold in the world? And they buy the vast majority of the production from their own mines anyway. Well, it might just come down to oil. And there's a lot of speculation that China is in advanced discussions with Saudi Arabia to pay for oil in renminbi. And oil prices are hovering here around $80 in Brent crude. And then when we think about West Texas Intermediate, it's a lot closer to about $73. And that's just above the band at which the US government has said that they're going to buy for the strategic reserve. So there's also a lot of discussion going on right now about Russia. Because the discount that Russia is enduring because of the European ban on export on Russian exports is putting downward pressure on the Russian blend. Now, of course, that should be beneficial for somewhere like India. So Indian prices as they import oil from Russia should be beneficial, and that should help to keep a lid on inflation. But the Nifty index is still under pressure. Now it hasn't quite yet failed to sustain this breakout to new all-time highs, but it is wobbling here. And obviously it is getting some competition in the emerging markets basket from the recovery in China. And when we think about the H share index in Hong Kong, well, we've had a good sized rebound, and the rebound took a little bit of a pause in here today, but it has broken the downtrend. So China is very much in the market for a recovery, and they're spending money where they need to in order to try and support the property market. Now, I do apologize for background noise, and there's unfortunately I'm still in the airport near my gate, so I haven't got I don't have a lot of control over my environment, unfortunately. But one thing that is also, I think, particularly relevant is we've had a good size rebound over the last couple of days on Wall Street. And that was very much on the back of this contraction in yields. The thing that I think is most relevant in the bond markets right now is not so much how much yields can fall. I think that there is a deflationary shock out there on the horizon, and the rationale is very similar to what we saw with quantitative tightening on the last couple of occasions that it was attempted. So you get yields going up first because investors are worried that with the central bank reducing their supply, then they're going to crowd out the market, and then people don't want to own bonds, so yields go up. Then yields go up enough to encourage investors back into the market. And then, because liquidity is being drained out of the market, people start getting worried about a deflationary environment. And that's kind of what's happening right now. So, we've had the surge in yields. Now we're seeing more people wanting bonds, and yields are contracting. And if we go back and think about what happened previously, particularly in 2019, then we can anticipate that yields will contract further from here. So, we definitely have companies like Tesla that have pulled back exceptionally sharply, and it could just about double and still be in a downtrend. So we have exceptionally oversold conditions, and there's certainly the potential that we could get a rebound coming through in here. That doesn't necessarily mean that the downtrend will end. And I still think that there's a strong possibility that we could go into a type 3 bottoming phase where we get prolonged ranging rather than trending activity for a large number of these larger companies. And that it's more likely than not that infrastructure development and government-directed investment is going to be the primary trend over the course of the next decade. And when you think about the way that Zoltán Pozsar is describing the rearming, reshoring, restocking, then the one thing that really strikes me is that there is none of that is cheap. All of it implies that we're going to have less efficient supply chains. We're going to have to spend more money on infrastructure. There's going to be, have to be a lot more commodity development, a lot more mining, and nobody wants a new mine in their backyard. So that's going to put a particular focus on existing mining infrastructure, more mine-friendly locations. And certainly we're starting to see markets that are heavy in the infrastructure, mining, and healthcare sectors, like the FTSE 100, breaking on the upside. And there's the real possibility that when we think about investment trusts like the BlackRock World Mining Trust, where it's been going sideways, more or less below that 800p level for the last 14 years. Well, actually, nearly 15 years now. And when that eventually does break on the upside, it's going to be pretty good confirmation that we're back in a new commodity-led bull market. Now, if it does do that, then that's going to be a further confirmation that we're still in an inflationary environment. And it would then suggest that when bond yields do bottom, that they will take out the peaks that we've put in this year or last year, and that we could see yields substantially higher, and that the parallel where the last time we had bonds and equities doing so badly together was in 1969, right ahead of a very volatile decade where we had inflationary problems, geopolitical problems, social problems, and also very short-term cycles with only a couple of years on the upside and a couple of years on the downside, rather than the big trending long-term trends that we had for most of the last 14 years. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.